We find here, at the beginning of the Geula of Klal Yisrael, really begins in Perek Beis, in Shemois. Vayelech ish mi Beis Levi. And a man from Beis Levi went, as you know, that's Amram, the father of Moshe Rabbeinu. Vayikach is Bas Levi, and took Bas Levi and took his wife back, took Yecheved back, who had divorced, and he took her back, remarried her. Vataha ho isho, and the woman gave birth, Vatelet Bain, and she gave birth to a child. Vatera Oisoi, and she saw Kitoivu, she saw that he was good, literally translated. Vatitzpenehu Shloisha Yerachim, and she hid him for 3 months. Obviously, we're talking about the background of the fact that the Mitzrayim were out there to kill every Jewish male child, and therefore she hid him, she was able to hide him for 3 months. Carries on a possible Yochu Oid. She could no longer hide him. She took this, a teva, a box made out of this reed, and she put it, she covered it with zephes, covered it with a kind of a material that gains water, and she put him on the spasoyo. Okay? Let's go slowly through this. So the pasuk says, Vatelet ben, she gave birth to a child, Vatera oisei kitoivu. And she saw that this child was good, and therefore she hid him for 3 months. Okay? Asks the Ramban, and in truth, our Chaim asks it, and Rashbam asks it, and many, all the Rishonim ask this Kasha. What's Peshat? She saw the child was good, and therefore she hid her child for 3 months. Says the Ramban, a very important principle, Yidua, it is known, Ki kol hanoshim oyhavois espenehem. Every woman loves her child. Yofim usha'enim yofim. Whether they are good looking or not, a woman loves her child. You know, you see some incredibly looking babies in the hospital, and the mother like is thinking this child is straight out from, you know, wow. Yeah, and the mother loves her child. So what's Peshat over here? The mother saw the child was good, yeah, and she hid the child. It's irrelevant whether she thought he was good. Every mother thinks a child is good. And so why do we just say the mother hid the child for 3 months? And let's say the mother thought, you know, that in fact the child looked exactly like her mother-in-law. Yeah, and it didn't look that good. She wouldn't hide it for 3 months. You wouldn't want to save the child's life. So what's Peshat the Pasuk? The Pasuk says, we're talking about, again, we're talking about over here, yeah, we're talking about Yocheved, a tremendous tzedekes. And the Pasuk is telling us that she hid her child for 3 months because she saw that this kid was good. Says Ramban, Ve'ein sarach rai letayna kitoivu. You do not need any good reason to hide a child because he's toiv. Even without toiv, to hide a child. Avo pirush hatoiva hazois. The translation of this good referring to over here is not his looks or, you know, the kind of appearance he has. Shirasa boy toiv mechudush. She saw within him an outstanding toiv, a unique toiv. V'choshva ki yore boy neis v'inatzel. And through this good, she saw that this child is unique, and therefore a nes will happen and he'll be saved. And therefore, lechein, therefore, nosna libo, she put her attention, v'choshva machshovis beinenoi, and she put machshovis, she looked into her different ideas, to see how she could possibly hide him. And when she saw she could no longer hide him, then she went to plan two, to stage two, and she hid him in a reed. In other words, what the Ramban is saying over here is, I'll just translate, and we'll, again, it's very difficult to understand, because she saw that this child was uniquely good, therefore this child would be, like Rashi explains, the whole house got filled up with light when he was born. Therefore, this good was enough to initiate her to hide him, because she knew a nes would happen. And therefore, the nes would happen, even after the 3 months were up, where she could hide him in initial stage, where nobody was looking for him. After that, when she saw how really good he was and how special the child was, that is when she was able to reach the second stage of doing, of hiding him in this goymer, in this box, and saving him. That's Adkan Divrei HaRamban. So the Ramban says. I've always had for many years, I don't understand. Let's understand this. I mean, let's work through this Ramban carefully. Let's understand this. Was the goymer, putting him in this box, yeah, putting him in this box, in this little reed box, putting him in the middle of the yam, was that a good idea? Was that a good idea? In other words, was that a sensible idea from the beginning, yes or no? if it was a very sensible idea from the very beginning, why does she have to come on to the stage that because she saw that he's a very special child, worthy to a miracle, therefore she put him in this reed box? If it was a very sensible idea from stage one, she didn't have to see that this child is a special child, that he deserves to have miracles, to put him in the box. Put him in the box at the very beginning. If that was a normal, sensible idea to do, why didn't she do that at the very beginning? So what do we have to say? That putting him in the box was a terrible idea. Horrendous idea. There's no air in it. You know, his kid's going to suffocate. Who's going to find him in this box? If it's a Jew who's going to find him in a box, he's not going to save it because he's scared of the Egyptians. If an Egyptian finds him in a box, he'll just toss over the box and kill him. So what's that? The idea of the box is really quite a silly idea, right? Elamai, what do you have to say? That because she saw that he's going to have a miracle, then she thought of the idea of the box. But if the box is so ridiculous, why even do something with a miracle? Expect a miracle to happen without the box, if the box is absolutely not going to help one way or another. So what was that idea over here? So the Ramban says, because she thought that he's special, and therefore a miracle is likely to happen to him, she put him in a box. But again, the question is, if the box is a very good idea, why look for the miracle? And if it's a terrible idea, then why put him in a box even with the fact that he's going to have a miracle? And if a miracle will happen, why put him in a box, something that's totally not going to be one way or another going to help him in what he's doing? So I had this question for a long time, and I think all of us have had this question. Was this box a good idea, yes or no? If it was a good idea, why did you do it at the beginning? If it's a terrible idea, what's the point of doing it? Says of Henoch Leibowitz, a very, very poignant idea. It is such a powerful idea, and I want to focus on this theme during the show today. He says that this. He says the idea actually was not such a silly idea. The idea was not such a silly idea, and it was an idea that could actually work. How it's going to work, we don't know how it's going to work, but it was not such a silly idea. If it was not such a silly idea, then the question is, why does she have to come on to the fact he's a special child to see that idea should work? Why does she think the idea without this reliance on the nais? So he says that this, the idea wasn't so stupid. The idea was actually quite a good idea. But she only came onto the idea because she saw that it's capable of a nes happening to him, and therefore the idea came to her. In other words, if she was hopeless, if she did not see any way out of this situation, then the very simple idea, perhaps, of putting him in a box would not even occur to her, because with Yeush, when a person gives up hope, when a person is paralyzed with fear, even simple ideas do not go through their mind. She would be paralyzed. People panic. In panic stage, even normal ideas, even normal concepts that make sense, a person doesn't occur to a person. And therefore, how did this idea happen that she should put him in a box? Only because she didn't have any Yeush. She did not give up hope, because she saw that this child will receive a miracle at some stage. She was capable of thinking up something that was actually quite doable. And therefore the nais allowed her to think up the idea, the doable idea in the first place. Which teaches us, to the Henoch Leibowitz, that Yeush paralyzes us. Fear, giving up, you know, what's going to be, does not allow us. Not only is it against our mun and betochen, that is, it's a terrible thing to have, not to have to have Yeush, as we'll see later, but that it paralyzes us, not to allow us to even to think of the most straightforward, normal ways of thinking to extricate ourselves out of that situation. It was a good, normal idea, but she was not able to think up the idea until she saw a nes would happen. That took away the Yeush, that took away her feeling of that it's impossible. Now it's possible, let's think how to get out of this. And this is a very, very powerful thing. It's a very powerful idea. The idea is that a person can be sensible, a person can have a way out of a particular trouble, but the fear and how is this going to happen? Oy, terrible, I'm in such a terrible situation. That can actually not allow a person to think straight and keep the person in that situation. Even Moshe Rabbeinu, we find later on, Moshe Rabbeinu was on the way to Mitzrayim. And Hashem says in Perek Dalet, Pasuk Chof Aleph, Vayema Hashem al Moshe, Belech Techol, Loshuv Mitzrayimo, when you're going back to Mitzrayim, Re'ei kol ha-moifsim, see all the moifsim, see all the tremendous miracles, Asher samti biyodcha, that I put into your hands, Va'asisem lifnei paroi, and do them in front of paroi, Vani achazik es liboy, and I will strengthen his heart, V'lei shalach es ha'om, and he will not send out the nation. Says the Ramban over there, Vani achazik es liboy, and I will strengthen his heart, what difference does that make? Says the Ramban, and therefore, Va'al tisiyayish ato melasoysim ma'avokain. Don't give up. Don't be meyayish. Don't give up hope if you see that what you're trying to do does not bear fruits. Moshe Rabbeinu, a Novi, the greatest Novi who ever was and ever will be. If you don't believe that, we're in Apokos. Moshe Rabbeinu is going out to save Klal Yisrael. Save Klal Yisrael from who? From a Paroi. Paroi was a god within himself. He thought he was God. He's crying. Moshe Rabbeinu has come to tell him that God, yeah, Hashem, who Paroi totally denies, yeah, tells him to free a nation of slaves who no slaves ever left Egypt. There wasn't such a concept, Bichlal. Moshe Rabbeinu knew it's not going to be easy. And he comes along, he doesn't expect on day one to Paroi to say, yep, off you go, pack your bags, out. So why does it have to be over here that Hashem says, by the way, it's going to be a tough job? Says Ramban, because if he didn't tell him, Moshe Rabbeinu would have that little amount of yeush, the little amount of giving up hope, and that paralysis will not allow him to do his job properly. Even that smallest amount of, oi, I'm not getting anywhere here, that can paralyze the function of even the greatest Novi, taking out the greatest nation out of Mitzrayim, towards the greatest time in history to receive the Torah. That is how dangerous it is for a person to not be fully cognitive, fully aware of what really is happening around him, because if he chas v'shalom allows any fear to enter him, which is not correct, that can paralyze him. And Moshe Rabbeinu was in that risk, and the only way Yecheved was able to act in a way that was sensible was because she did not have this fear lurking in the background. An incredible, incredible idea. See that?
Yeah.
Last week, my son went into surgery, and it was a scheduled surgery, nothing particularly major. And on he had some stomach problems, and on Tuesday night late, the specialist came down from his office and checked my son's stomach. He's 4 years old, and he found that it's some hardening of the stomach. So he phoned up another specialist who is a gastro specialist. He fetched him in the house at 12 o'clock at night. He came over to the hospital, and at 1 o'clock in the morning he went into surgery the second time in 3 days, a major surgery. And Baruch Hashem, it was a life-saving surgery. If that would not have happened, would be a very different situation today. And Baruch Hashem, with Nissim v'Niflois, you are saved. And he got wheeled from the operating theatre straight into the intensive care unit. And I don't know if you've ever been in intensive care unit. Place you should never be, Ezra Shem, be. It's quite a scary place. And he had the different monitors, and he has big doses of antibiotics going in, and different machines and different things. And I let my wife, there's a little cell there where one parent can sleep, and I stayed in the room, took a couch, and I was going in and out of sleep. And I can't say, to be very honest, it was a calmest sleep. I can't say, to be quite honest, I didn't have any yeush. I was feeling despondent, I was feeling worried, I was feeling a little bit distant from HaKadosh Baruch Hu Siyata Shemaya. I never realized what a nace had happened to me, that Baruch Hashem, the operation was able to be done before the snow started, that the specialist can come. I didn't know what we were saved from, and I felt a little bit distant. And as I was opening my eyes, you know, I was like in and out of sleep, I open my eyes and I see words written on the big light. I'm like looking up, and he's got this huge light that goes over to operate, even if you need operation, emergency operation in an intensive care unit. And it has a little word, and it says on it, you know, like the labeling of each thing, it said, ICU, which they believe means intensive care unit. And I looked up and I see like Nevuah. I see you. HaKadosh Baruch is saying to me, I see you. Yeah? Wherever you are, don't have yeush. I see you. You're over here now. This is not the place you'd want to be with your four-year-old child. But yeush? What's yeush? I see you. Don't panic. I'm here with you. Tremendous chizuk. I see you. If a person is paralyzed by fear, if a person is paralyzed by Yeush, they can't function. Incredible, incredible idea. To such an extent, listen to this, Rabbi Yisrael, this thought is unbelievable. What did she do? What did Yecheved do in order to save Moshe Rabbeinu? Okay, says Apostle, V'layoch lo'oid hitzpinoi, she can no longer hide him, V'atikach lo'in, she took for him tevas goymeh. She took for him a tevas goymeh, a box made out of goymeh. What is goymeh? Anyone know what goymeh is?
Tar.
No, tevas goymeh, no, goymeh. Sorry?
Gopher wood.
G-O-P-H-E-R. Gopher wood. Yeah. And that is from where? From a gopher tree, I imagine. Okay. So why is it important to say what it was made out of? V'tikachlein, she made for him a tevo, she made for him a box. Is it really that important what it was made out of? Do you really care what the box is made out of? As long as it was sealed well, it was able to float, it was not made out of metal. Yeah. It was, what do we care? But tevas, why did it say it was made out of goyme? Listen to this chazal. The Medrash says, "Batikach loy tevas goyme." For lomoshel goyme, why out of goyme specifically? Omer Rebbe Loza, why out of goyme? Why do you think it's made out of goyme? Any suggestions why it's made out of goyme?
It's light. We assume it's light.
Because it's light. Okay, so therefore it's a better, it's better material to make that floats easier. Okay, so Rebbe Loza says a different reason. Omer Rebbe Loza, shechoviv aleihem letzadikim mimoinom yoisom migufon, because tzadikim value their money more than their bodies. The kol kach lomo, why are they so careful with their money? She'ein poishti midein begezel, because they're so careful how they make their money, that the money that they receive, they feel is directly Hashem sent. Hashem sent them this money, and therefore for them to use that money in a trivial manner, to use that money in a way that is not supposed to be used in, that is going against Ratzon Hashem. It's going against the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says Yifeitoy, what's it got to do over here? Shechovim leim memoinam. So Rashi says in Soita, Shedomov shel guma mu'otin, because this gopher wood is very cheap. Yeah? And so what's Peshat? Va'afa pi shoyi mishtame gufo yoysa mishal eitzim koshim v'chazokim. Even though other woods would actually be better to look after Moshe Rabbeinu with, other woods would actually be a better, more stronger wood in order to protect Moshe Rabbeinu, because she could get away with using a cheaper wood, gopher wood, she went for it. So go for this, right? She went for that. And therefore she went for a cheaper wood because it's a chaval, it's posh, it's such a shame to waste money when I could get away with something cheaper. Now, one second. You know, you're not going to buy yourself, yeah, an ice cream, and you can get ice cream of Nestle or ice cream of this. Just go for the cheaper ice cream because it's a shame to spend more money on a more expensive ice cream. Yeah? Should I go for this steak or that steak? It's a shame to spend. We're talking about saving your son's life. We're talking about saving Moshe Rabbeinu's life over here. Who was Moshe Rabbeinu? Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who was going to save the whole of Klal Yisrael. He is going to bring Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. He is going to give us the Torah. He's going to bring us into Eretz Yisrael. Until something happened. And you're looking now at saving a bit of money. How much money are you saving? A little bit of money, you're saving a bit of money, and you're calculating the pennies because this wood is bomb. And not only that, it's actually safer to put another thing. You know, let's go for a cheaper life ring because, you know, you can get away with a cheaper life ring. You might as well do that. You're dealing here with your child's life. You're dealing here with the life of the future of Klal Yisrael. You think about little amounts of money.
She wouldn't have used a shoddier wood if it wouldn't have worked. It's just this one works too, so go with the cheap one.
Exactly. In other words, she did not think for a moment that he's going to be killed in this wood. She calculated the risks, and she said, he's going to be saved. There's no doubt he'll be saved. If that's the case, let's work it out. If you'll be saved with gopher wood, why go for more expensive wood? You know, you're being too cautious. You're spending money unnecessarily. If you're spending money unnecessarily, that's not what Kodesh Baruch wants. Not Kodesh Baruch wants, I'm not going to do it. You know, she was calculating in a time of incredible stress. She got the Mitzrayim coming along at any minute about to grab her baby. She got a putting her baby out there in the middle of the reeds, and she's able to calculate in a very cold fashion what is Ratzon Hashem. Is it worthwhile adding in a little bit over a little bit more expensive wood in order to save him, or is it not necessary? And if it's not necessary, that's not Ratzon Hashem. If not Ratzon Hashem, I'm not going to do it. So she is able to calculate in all her stress exactly Ratzon Hashem. This is somebody who has no yeush. This is somebody who's not being paralyzed by the situation. She's able to determine exactly what is necessary. I'm not going to do something over something unnecessary. If I can do the operation without the specialist, I can have done national health. Yeah, then okay, then I'll do it national health. I will not do it with a specialist because it's not necessary. That is a person who is able to calculate a Kodesh Baruch Hu without having any stress. Moshe Rabbeinu later on in the parasha was taken to task by being under stress in a time when he should have been calmer. An incredible pasuk. Later on the pasuk, the parasha says, "Vayehi baderech b'maloin." Perek Dalet pasuk Chof Dalet. Moshe Rabbeinu is going back to Mitzrayim. Now let's understand again context over here. Moshe Rabbeinu is going back to Mitzrayim, and he's taking his young family with him back to Mitzrayim. Okay, and a tremendous shlichus. He's being sent to take Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. Okay, vayehi baderech maloin. He is going on a derech to the hotel. Vayifkeshehu Hashem vayivakish lahamisli. And Hashem, or the Malach, meets him and he wants to kill him. Why does he want to kill him? Yeah, so it's brought down that he was Isek, he was busy in worrying about checking into the hotel rather than doing bris mila to his son. And he should have. And he's about to be killed, the Medrash says that he was, that a snake swallowed him up and it almost killed him and his wife, Tbetikach Tzpoyer Tzor, and Tzpoyer took a stone and she sharpened it and she did bris mila and Moshe Rabbeinu was saved. Okay? Says the Zohar HaKadosh at this, Omer Hashem Yisborach, Ato Hoylech Laroig Es Hanochosh HaChozok Hu Paro. You are out to go and kill this huge snake called Paro. Va'ato Reitze Lo Hoitzies Bnei Yisrael Min Mitzrayim. And you are out to go and take Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. Keitzar Shechachta, how did you forget Es Bincho, your son, Ve'nachto Oysoi Biltim Nimol, that you should go and leave your son that he does not have Bris Mila. Now, again, let's understand this. So Kodesh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe Rabbeinu, you're about to save Klal Yisrael. You're about to go along and fight the biggest serpent in history, Paroi, and he forgot to do bris mila to your son. Also, Henoch Lebowitz, I don't understand. If Moshe Rabbeinu was sitting at home, yeah, relaxing over a very interesting sefer, then he can understand what are you doing. You should be doing bris mila. But Moshe Rabbeinu was now going to save Klal Yisrael, going to get rid of Paroi, doing an incredible message. His mind was bursting with responsibility. He's the last person you can take as responsible for his actions. Moshe Rabbeinu forgot because he's totally involved in what he's doing. What's the Zohar Kodesh saying? Moshe Rabbeinu, you got such a big shlichus and you forget about doing bris mila to your son. Yes! I've got such a big responsibility and therefore I forgot about my son. The terrace is that a person who has huge responsibilities means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects from him to have greater, wider shoulders. Responsibility does not come with saying, no, I can't deal with this. If you have responsibility, means you're capable of dealing under stress, in high levels of stress. If you're the one going to Mitzrayim to take on Pari head to head, if you are going into Mitzrayim to take out Klal Yisrael, then you cannot be a person who forgets about doing bris mila to his son. Because the responsibility that you have shows what you're capable of. A person with big responsibility is able under stress to perform better than a regular person. If you are not somebody who's going to go out take Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, you can't expect much from you. But because you are able to take Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, you have that kind of responsibility, you're expected to work even better under the stress than a regular person, and therefore you are responsible more than a regular person. This is the power, or the Torah gives the responsibility to a leader, that a person is not allowed to crack under stress, a person not allowed to fall apart. Because if a person falls apart under stress, not only does it not serve himself in the best possible manner. He destroys everything around him. The Rabbeinu Yonah says an amazing pasuk. The Rabbeinu Yonah says, it's actually in Parashas Bamidbar. Rabbeinu Yonah, by the way, has a Sefer Al HaTorah. He says at this, Chazisa ish mahir b'malachto. It's a pasuk in Mishlei Chof Beis Chof Tes. You see a person who is quick with his job. So he says, who is this person who's quick with his job? That's Moshe Rabbeinu. It's Moshe Rabbeinu. He's a person who is quick. V'chein nizdareis b'borcha mipnei paroi, and therefore he is able to run away from front of paroi. When kushenoida d'vaha mitzvah shema ochinoida hadov. In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu was able to run away from paroi when it was clear to him that paroi is about to kill him, because Moshe Rabbeinu was a zoriz. Because Moshe Rabbeinu was a person who was quick. He was a person who was zoriz. Zealous is not correct word.
Alacritus.
He was
alacritus.
Alacritus. He was quick on his feet. He was a person who was a quick mover. Yeah, he wasn't a lazy person. And therefore Moshe Rabbeinu was able to run away when his life was in danger. I don't understand. When a person's life in danger, you don't have to be a zoriz to run away. If a guy comes to you with a big machine gun, yeah, and he's got a swastika on his forehead, and he's out to kill a Jew, yeah, and he sticks his head through the front door, even if you aren't a big zoriz, you run out the back door. Why is Moshe Rabbeinu known as he is a zoriz? He is a tremendous he is a person who has this level of incredible zrizus, and that is why he's able to run away in front of Pari. The teretz is that a person who does not have zrizus does not have the ability to save himself. Midas of a person, the way a person acts, the way a person thinks, the way a person works in stress, does not change all that much when the situation comes up that terrible things happen. If Moshe Rabbeinu was not a zoriz, even if his life was in danger, he would not have been able to run away. People do amazing things in very difficult situations, but they're usually amazing people beforehand, and it just brings out their strengths. There are people who don't have this midos, and they fall apart, and they're not even able to save themselves in difficult situations because they do not have those midos to help them. Being able to work under pressure, being able to focus and fulfill one's responsibility is a lifesaver. Literally, it's a lifesaver. And that is why Moshe Rabbeinu was able to save himself, because he had this midah. If not, who knows what would have happened to Klal Yisrael. Now, this is not... Now, listen to this. This vot is incredible, incredible chiddush. This vot of understanding the ability of how important it is to have emunah and bitochen, not to fall apart under pressure, is only done through Torah and mitzvahs. And not only do we understand that, even Pari understood that. It's Rabbeinu Bechaya, an incredible Rabbeinu Bechaya. Rabbeinu Bechaya said this, V'yoyim aleihem melech Mitzrayim, Perek Hei Posuk Dalet. V'yoyim aleihem melech Mitzrayim, Lomo Moshe v'Aroi Tafriya. So I'm looking inside over here. Perek Hei Posuk Dalet. End of the parasha. Towards the end of the parasha. Yeah. V'yoyim aleihem melech Mitzrayim. Melech Mitzrayim said to them, Lomo Moshe v'Aroi Tafriya ha'om mi maisov. Why is Moshe and Aaron bothering the people from their work? Lechu, go, lesivloi seichem. Go back to your work. Go back to what you're working hard with, right? Now, what does it mean? Lechu, lesivloi seichem. What does that mean? So the Bein Abachaya explains, so non pshat lechu, lesivloi seichem means get back to work. Get back and work, right? You've got work to do. Go back and work. So the Rashi says, "Lechu lemalachtechem sheyeshechem lasis bebateichem." Go back to the work they need to do at home. Amalech shivu mitzrayim lohoisa shivtei shalevi. Levi, as we know, were not included in the work, and therefore go back. Now the Paris Saint Moshe Aaron, do me a favor, go home. Yeah, go home. You know, you've got Shabbos work to do. Do me a favor, get out of my face. It says Rabbeinu Bechaya, "Lechu lesivlei seichem kloima." Lasois chefzeichem. Do what you want to do, uma she'atem tzrichim lasis, and what you need to do. Says Rabbeinu Bechaya, ki ein hakavona sivlois Mitzrayim nishtal avodas parach k'shai Yisrael. I'm not telling you to get back to work like Reza Klal Yisrael, because as we know, Sheva Levi weren't involved. Kirotso Paro Lahaniach Lahem Shevet Levi Lahanhigom Chukei Torasom. Paro wanted Shevet Levi to become to continue being the tribe that continued teaching Torah. Kasha Minag Bechol Am Sheyeshem Chachomim Lahoyrosem Torasom Vinyone Yerosom Echis Nagubo. Paro saying to Moshe Beinu, get back to what you want to do and what needs to be done. In other words, go back to the Beis Medrash. Go back to the Beis Medrash. Carry on being Talmidei Chachamim. Leave me alone. Carry on being Talmidei Chachamim. The question is, Rabbi Yisai, why should Paro want that? Why does Paro want Talmidei Chachamim? Why is it important for Paro to say, get out of my face, do me a favor, get back to the Beis Medrash? Why is it important to Paro? The terrace is, listen to this, Paro wanted one thing and one thing only. A successful slave unit. He wanted it to be efficient. He wanted it to be productive. He wanted products. He wanted to see, at the end of the day, the bottom line, that places are being built up. If a nation does not have any form of structure, if it does not have Talmidei Chachamim, who are able to guide them in with emunah and betochen, to take them out of their depression with a nice vort of Torah, with a vort of Musa, not to have Yeush, then these slaves will fall apart. They won't have anything to look forward to. And therefore the production of Mitzrayim will fall apart. Says Paro to Moshe Rabbeinu, carry on with Shevet Levi, that they should be the Talmidei Chachamim, that they should give the hope and give a munah and betochen to Klal Yisrael, that they can carry on and carry on working for me. But because without this hope, without Torah, without Maisim Tovim, without having this munah and betochen, people just literally fall apart. They have nothing to live for. And therefore get back to the Beis Medrash in order to give hope back to Klal Yisrael. Even Paro understood that the only way to be productive in times of stress is to have the focus on the right things, on Torah and Musa and concepts of having faith in the Kodesh Baruch Hu. So I want to finish off with one beautiful vort from the Slonima. Early on in the parasha, it says that Moshe Rabbeinu is put onto the water, and the pasuk says, Perik Beis Pasuk Vav, Vatiftach B'Tir'eu Es HaYeled, she opened up and she saw the child, V'hinei Nar Boiche, and she saw a Nar Boiche. A Nar means, what's a Nar? A youth was crying. So Rashi says, Koloi Kenar, his voice was like a youth. So the Mefarshim asked very strongly on Rashi, how can he possibly say that? Balatosa asked on Rashi, that's a mum. For a little baby to have a voice of an adult is a mum. How can you say a Moshe Rabbeinu has such a mum? Okay? So they had different pshatim. And she said, this must be a Jewish child. Just because she saw a Na Boiche, a child crying, why did that say that it's a Jewish child? In other words, because she saw a child crying, she said it must be a Jewish child. Why did she not see it since she saw the Goymer, since she saw the box cast down in the water? Why at that stage did she not say it's a Jewish child? So the Mefarshim say, Na Boiche, the Balaturim says, Na Boiche Bigmatria Ze Aranakoyim. The Na Boiche over here is not Moshe Rabbeinu at all. The Na Boiche over here is Aranakoyim. What's Pshat? Mefarshim explained that this Moshe Rabbeinu was in trouble. Vehinei Na Boiche, and another child cries. Who's the other child? That is Aaron HaKoyim. If one person is in trouble, and another person cries for that child, that is a uniquely Jewish trait. That one person is in pain and other people cry for that person's pain, that is miyaldei ho'ivrim zeh. That is uniquely Jewish. So the Na Boiche was not Moshe Rabbeinu. That was Aaron HaKohen. Wow. Aaron HaKohen is crying for somebody else's pain. Must be that this is a Jewish trait. This is a yaldei. This is something Jewish. I've never seen this before. That's one pshat. But the Slonim says something else. He says, the Na Boiche was a mature cry. What's the maturity in this cry? Na Boiche over here is a maturity. Doesn't mean he was crying like an adult. The cry was a cry of maturity. Children cry because of pain. They don't cry because they are weeping in hope. It's a very big difference. Zechariah Hanovi was approached by the philosophers. Why are you crying, Zechariah? And he said, I can't explain to you. He said, what, you're crying over spilt milk? It's destroyed. He said, I can't explain to you. There is a unique feature within Jews that they can cry because they don't have Yeyush, because they weep for the future. We cry because we know the future is going to happen soon and we wait for this future to happen. They're weeping in a form of hope for the future. Nar Boicha, the maturity of Moshe Rabbeinu over here was not that he's crying in his pain, but he was crying as an adult looking to the future without Yeyush. And that's Yalde Ivrim. That is a uniquely Jewish trait. To be where everyone is and to realize, I see you. To realize that Kodesh Baruch Hu is with us. Not to panic. Hashem should never ever test us. Chalila. But to bring out the strength within us, even when things aren't tough. That to be able to deal with the responsibility in a way is a uniquely Jewish trait. That was personified by Yecheved. That was Moshe Rabbeinu was warned not to fall into this trap on the way to Mitzrayim. He did not take it as well as he should have with his responsibility. He should have, a person that those kind of responsibilities should have been even more careful to make sure that his son had the bris milah. This was a koyach of power, even realizing that without the hope we fall apart, without realizing what Torah is, without realizing the light of Torah, we're able to fall apart. And that's why he encouraged and supported the Bnei Levi to carry on learning. And this is Hinei Na'a Boicha. When we cry now, it's not crying over spilt milk, we're not crying in a golos, we're crying with a hope that we have no Yeyush, we have not given up from Mashiach. And the Ezra Shem, the Pasuk says over here, just the Balaturim says, Vayelech Ish Mebeis Levi, the Pasuk we started off. The other time it says, Vayelech Ish. The Balaturim often does this, every time it says, Vayelech, was a particular sequence of words. I just read it what it says. Vayelech Ish. Based by Messiah, it says twice Vayelech Ish in entire Tanakh. Hocha over here, Veidoch in the other case Vayelech Ish mi Beis Lechem Yehuda in Rus. Vayelech Ish mi Beis Lechem Yehuda. Loima to tell us, Alidei Halichazu through this movement of Amram not giving up hope and remarrying his wife, Bo Hagoyel Harishoin. That is the Geula that came at the beginning. Validei Oisa Halicha. And through this approach of not giving up hope, Yovoi Hagoyel Ha'achroin will come the Mashiach, Shu Mashiach ben David, Shu Yovoi Bimheiro B'Yameinu. Amen.